Marvelicious Toys is brought to you in part by Dorkside Toys. At DorksideToys.com, you can get the latest Marvel toys, as well as Star Wars, G.I. Joe, The Walking Dead, and more. Run by toy fans, you can be assured your order will be given great attention and packed with care. Sign up to their social channels now for stock alerts, reviews, and toy and movie news. DorksideToys.com. You'd be a dork not to shop there. Welcome to Marvelicious Toys' continuing coverage of the 2015 Toy Fair International. In this show, we'll be looking at the new Marvel collectibles coming from Kotobukiya, Diamond Select, and the other companies at the Javits Convention Center in New York City. Be sure to visit our website to see photos of all the new items shown at the show.
Welcome to day two coverage of 2015 Toy Fair for Marvelicious Toys. This is Marjorie.
This is Arnie.
And this is Justin.
We are back in the studio. We will have an interview coming up from Toy Fair, but we just flew back and wow. I guess when the sequel to a billion-dollar film comes out, merchandising companies take notice because there is no way anyone outside of, like, Bill Gates has room in their home to own all the Marvel collectibles we saw at Toy Fair.
There are a lot.
Avengers Overload.
I mean, we talked last show about all the different Hasbro and Lego products coming out, but today we're going to be talking about Funko, Kotobukiya, Uncle Milton, Diamond Select, Egg Attack, Monogram International, Metal Earth, Rubies, so much stuff. And I kid you not, I have solid information from a source that wishes to remain anonymous about Play Imaginative.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're gonna get to it.
I don't know how to feel yet.
I'll just keep you in suspense too, Justin.
Great. Guess I'm along for the ride with the rest of you guys, so let's buckle up and get going.
Before we get to all the toy news, I do want to make an announcement from our sister podcast, Now Playing Podcast, that Marjorie and I host along with co-hosts Stuart and Jacob. We have started a major project, and we're hoping listeners of all of our podcasts will kind of come together behind us and help us out. In the 10 years Marjorie and I have been podcasting, never asked any listeners of Star Wars Action News or Marvelicious Toys for a red cent, but we're trying with Now Playing to do a book of 100 movie reviews. And it turns out, I honestly thought for books, you just go into a corner with a keyboard, you type, and when you are done, you have a book.
This explains a lot about how things happen around our house.
It's like I thought with electrical wiring, you just go to the wall with a screwdriver and suddenly there's electricity.
That's exactly how that works. That really is.
I think that analogy is pretty apt because when I started looking into the legalities of writing a book of movie reviews and what it would take to get clearances and copyrights and original art for the cover and the inserts and everything, it's a lot of money. It is a lot of money. And so we are doing a Kickstarter campaign. It ends on March 19th for the book Now Playing, Underrated Movies We Recommend. Each of us have picked 25 movies that we don't think get the love they deserve. Maybe they were box office bombs that should have been hits. Maybe they just have been critically reviled and we think that they deserve another look. Or maybe people think it's okay and we think it's great. But each of us have picked 25 movies that we want to do in this book. And Now Playing Podcast has 3 reviewers every movie. We're doing that with the book. So it's 300 movie reviews of 100 movies.
Wow. That's a big bite.
Yeah. It's a lot of work. And we want to make sure there's an appetite for it. And we don't want to have to take out another mortgage on the house.
No.
So this goes until March 19th. But if you could check us out, we'll have a link from the Marvelicious Toys homepage for the Now Playing Kickstarter. And we hope you'll throw us some support.
Are there any pornos on this list?
Oh, absolutely, like half.
Oh, damn. Now I'm thinking that perhaps BatFXXX is underrated.
Damn it, I was going to call that one. That one's amazing.
Fun for the whole family.
First stop we made Sunday morning was at Funko, and they usually have a really big Toy Fair presence and so much green rope lighting that it takes about 30 minutes for your eyes to adjust to white again.
Yeah, it's pretty bad because it's like walking into an arcade with neon green lights, and probably for about 30 minutes after I leave the booth, I still see green.
That's true. It is almost like a real life version of the Star Wars arcade game where everything is a green straight line.
You can see the glow. You know how, like, if you are outside of a city and you can see, like, the orange glow in the sky of the upcoming city before you actually see the city? Yeah, it's like that with Funko. You can see the green glow before you get anywhere near their booth.
I have a feeling that's not on accident. I bet you there's been some sort of psychological studies that prove that it makes you feel better about their product.
Usually when we go, we see tons and tons of pop vinyls and then some reaction figures and new products. It was there just a few years ago when we were covering for Marvelicious. We saw those lamps they did. Remember those cool lamps?
Oh, yeah. With the where the lampshades were the heads, right?
Yeah.
Do you know those lamps are now going for like $150 on eBay?
Wow. Yeah, you had the Iron Man one.
Yes, I still do. It's in our guest room, and I actually got an email. It is not uncommon for people to find the Marvelicious Toys site and then email me to buy the items. I think the photography is so good, they think we're retail. I get about one a week. Perhaps we should open a store. But somebody wrote and asked where they could find this Iron Man lamp or how much we were charging if we had them in stock. And usually I try to be polite and point people to something. So I checked Amazon thinking, oh, sure, I'll find it. Nope, not at all. So I hit eBay, like 150 and up for those lamps. So Funko, I'm surprised they're not still making them.
Yeah, no kidding.
But they're mostly known for their pop vinyls as of now. But I mentioned the lamps to talk about. They're really big about diversifying their products. Before they did the pop vinyls, they just did the wacky wobblers, you know, and all this other merchandise. And I've wondered, there are so many pop vinyls. We were flying to New York City, and in every airport we stopped, you could buy pop vinyls.
Wow.
They're in everything, like all the Hudson News, which are in the airport. So many stores have them now.
I wonder, is the bubble going to burst? Well, they are bringing out so many new lines that it is just astounding. And they're applying the Marvel license to everyone they can. I don't know that there's a license other than Reaction that is not getting Marvel figures. And how cool would it be if they did Reaction Marvel figures? I'm just going to frickin' say.
You're kind of already getting that though, right? I mean, there's 3 3/4 inch figures and then there's General Giants 12 inch retro one. So there might not be a huge need for that, but you're right. It would be cool.
Wouldn't it be cool if they like did the Secret Wars thing at 3 3/4 inch scale? And
yeah.
They'd have better paint than Hasbro. I'm just kind of saying. Well, to start off with one line that they did last year that is continuing this year, I think it's Marjorie's favorite Funko line, the Mystery Minis.
I do like those a lot, although I wish they didn't bobble. I understand it's a licensing issue, but I think that the horror Mystery Minis and the sci-fi Mystery Minis have a much better body style, but because of licensing, they can't do that.
They also have a much better style overall, yes. You know? The sci-fi ones are my favorite. Every time I'm at Target and I see those, I pick one up.
Me too!
They're just really cool.
They are! I love those!
And the Marvel ones are a little bit disappointing next to those. I was kind of hoping that maybe they would... I don't care if the heads have to bobble, but they could still do some cooler sculpting on these, I think.
they're cute, but yeah, and I don't like things that bobble. That just really bothers me.
Well, they have announced, and it's up for pre-order now, but the Avengers Age of Ultron Mystery Minis, and I wondered, how does a Hulkbuster bobble? The answer is not very well. It's just the little shell on top, and it doesn't move hardly at all.
Yeah, it was kind of pathetic.
It's more of a nodder.
But we got to see those and did get confirmation. None of the pre-order places are saying that you're guaranteed a set per case, but there are 12 figures, 12 in a case, so you're guaranteed a full set if you buy a case of those.
And are there any special chasers at all? No. They're all just, okay.
At least none that they were ready to announce. If Hot Topic gets a special one, we don't know yet.
It seems like the Marvel ones have been doing that lately. Wasn't Guardians of the Galaxy kind of a one per case as well?
Yeah, and I think they're doing that with the movie ones. We talked to her about that specifically, and she said that people seem to prefer just being able to buy the case, and the chases were a little bit of a harder sell. That said, we might see it return because they are going to do a series two of the comic-based Mystery Minis as well. They didn't have those out yet. They don't have the characters yet, but those will be coming down the pike.
Oh, you're right. It's the movie ones that are easy to get in the, because right, the first series of comic ones had what, three or four different Deadpools, and
then there was the Hot Topic exclusive ones. They had the Phoenix, which was a 1 in 144, and thanks to an awesome listener, we got that one in our collection. But yeah, there were some super hard chases in the comic ones, and this one, pretty good.
Yeah.
Of course, the totally disappointing thing is all of the Mystery Minis are the same size, that Hulkbuster's maybe a quarter inch taller.
But he's the coolest looking one out of them.
Ah, yeah. And then another line that they had been doing that they are continuing, Fabrications. They're kind of soft. How would we describe them? They're like figures because they have articulation. They can turn their heads. They stand. But yet they're soft goods and like plushy material.
It's kind of like this weird plush action figure thing that they just created. There's never been anything like it.
Yeah, that's a good... I mean, it's like a plush version of the Pops. Bigger. They're really cute.
As is most things Funko does. Their designers just specialize in it. What were the two they'd done? I know I have Rocket Raccoon. Was the other one Deadpool?
Deadpool's been around for a while, yep.
Well, they announced their next few characters. They're doing a Groot who is Corduroy.
Awesome. Yes. It is. I can't decide if it's awesome or just utterly terrible.
If you can't decide, it's obviously both. And they're also doing, and the lady we spoke to, Allison at Funko, considered this Marvels, and so do we, Baymax, who is perfect for a fabrication, even though he's going to be more vinyl than plushy. He's almost like the albino gimp.
So is his body plushy and his head is vinyl?
No, he looked vinyl all over.
Then that kind of blows what we were just saying all out of the water.
And they're doing that. They're doing a bunch of Avengers Age of Ultron fabrications. And these aren't nearly as cute. Some are plushy, but they're different materials. You've got Thor, Hulk, and Cap, who all have like fuzzy heads. And Hulk has some really weird hair. It looks like an evergreen bush, only black on his head. But the weirdest one for me is Iron Man, who is, again, all vinyl, or vinyl-ish, plasticky material. It's, you know, like cheap 70s sofas.
That's cool, though. Kind of like the Vader one in the Star Wars line.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. All right.
So, I don't know if I like the movie-based ones as much as just the original designs. None are beating that Rocket with his crazy hair.
Yeah, the furry ones end up working out better because that Rocket is the cutest one they have on this side, and Chewie is really cute on the Star Wars side. So maybe they need to find more furry creatures to try to make.
There's not too many furries in the Avengers.
Well, you could do Beast, although they don't make X-Men toys anymore.
Yeah, that rules out Wolverine, because he could have some really furry sideburns going on. Well, it's not our job to give them ideas. It seems like they've got their hands full with all the ideas they came out with just this year alone.
Plus, they have a new plushie line called Mopies. And if that sounds like they're moping around...
They are.
That's the intent, is to have sad beanies.
It's for superheroes when they're having a really bad day.
The whole point is that they're beanies that will just sit there and sulk their heads down. Like, oh, me.
Now, are these about the same size as the fabrication?
No, these are much smaller. They're around Beanie Baby size. I'd say they're probably like 3 inches tall, give or take a little bit.
They're about the same size as the Itty Bitties from Hallmark. Different shape, but roughly the same size.
I'm on that committee, I think.
But they've got Cap, Iron Man, Hulk, Rocket Raccoon, and Groot. So you can see the Guardians with their huge box office gross are now up there with the Avengers in their character selection. For all the different lines, Rocket and Groot are showing up.
Yeah, there's no Ant-Man in these plushy lines.
There wasn't a whole bunch of Ant-Man anywhere.
There is a Deadpool.
That's right. Yeah, those are, I feel the same way about a lot of this Funko stuff. Some of them are hits and some of them are misses. And Deadpool looks like he could be decent, but the Spider-Man looks a little, something off about him. The angle of his eyes is a little too sharp, I think.
I don't think so. These are going to be exacting. I would classify these as more like something like a parody of your character instead of worrying about that.
Oh, I'm not even talking about accuracy. I'm just saying the shape of his eyes just make him seem not Spider-Man-y and more, I don't know, more like an alien or something.
I thought he looked really Spider-Man-y, you know, having read the comics, but it reminds me of like the Spider-Man comics they make for the young kids instead of anything else. I see what you mean, though, about the eyes. And keep in mind, we're seeing early releases. These aren't going to be on shelves for 6 more months. Final versions could vary a little.
Huh. Those seem like there'll be things that are just kind of shoved on the shelf at a Toys R Us and maybe it can impulse buy every once in a while when there's nothing else at the store.
That's kind of how I feel about them. That's what I did when they did. Remember the Pop plushes that they had for a while that looked like Pop figures, but they were like 8-inch, 6-inch plush figures?
Oh, yeah.
I never pre-ordered those or anything, but if I was shopping online and needed something to push me over to free shipping, or I'd see them on sale at stores like Half Price at Spencer Gifts, that's when I pick them up. I could see these falling into that where I buy a couple of the best ones, maybe Rocket and Groot, because Rocket can't be alone, and then Spider-Man, and then pick up the rest here and there. I'm certainly not able to even collect everything Funko does. If I was only a Funko Marvel collector, I still couldn't buy everything they put out for space and money reasons. And the thing that makes that absolutely guaranteed is the sheer voluminous quantity of Sofubi Hikari vinyls they're doing. Oh my God, they had a huge display of nothing but Sofubis. They had multiple shelves on it, and it was still so many because they're also doing Star Wars and Pony Sofubis that you then had to move to a different area of the booth to see the last Sofubis.
You know, the thing about a collectible like that is you need them released not in mass to make them special. These are, first of all, they're $80 or so.
Yeah.
These are extremely limited, some of them, and they're just flooding the market with them.
I still need somebody to explain these to me. I mean, I understand to each their own. Everybody likes what they like. But I cannot see the appeal of these. I've tried, and I can't.
I love the designs of them. I wish they were smaller, because they had been doing some Batman Hikaris and some the Mutant Ninja Turtle Hikaris just caught my eye. I have no desire in my life to own a single Mutant Ninja Turtle collectible. But when I saw the Hikari Mutant Ninja Turtles, I went, those look cool. And when I saw the Batman ones, I was like, those look cool. But they were smaller. They were like 5 or 6 inch, and they were about half the price. Again, Disney has so over-licensed Marvel that they had to be larger and more expensive in the Funko line. So now you've got these larger ones. They started with the Spider-Man and the Groot, and now at Toy Fair, they're doing a lot of these larger figures. The collectability is there for one thing. The limited edition, some of these have edition sizes as low as 500 pieces. Others, they have 1,500 or 2,000, and I've noticed our sponsor, Dorkside Toys, actually had one of the Spider-Mans half off. I paid full price for that MF, but it was $40 on their site. But I really like the design, especially of the Spider-Man they did. The Groot looks Grooty, but the Spider-Man looked space age. When you get glitter Spider-Man and semi-translucent Spider-Man, it just, I know this is an American company, but it screams like Japanese collectible, and it just has this nice aesthetic. And I was really in when I saw 5 Spider-Mans. I'm like, boom, I can do 5 Spider-Mans. And then I saw five Groots. I'm like, ooh, this is gonna hurt.
That's a Groot too far.
And then I actually stopped buying the Spider-Mans when I realized completionism could not happen. I now am going to choose like one or two of my favorite designs, but they showed off some awesome looking Hulks. We're going to be getting Orange Hulk, Gray Hulk, Red Metallic Glitter Hulk, Black to Translucent Clear Hulk, Green Hulk, Green Translucent Hulk. The repaints or re-injection colors, whatever you want to call them, they are what makes it impossible to be a completion, because from the Marvel ones they've done, I've seen no less than five major color variations of every one they do. So that would be 400 for each character, and it looks like they have even more Hulks than that.
See, far be it from me to tell anybody what to like or what they don't like, but you said that these have a very Japanese feel to them, which I'll grant you, they do. But to me, there's something just slightly off about them. Like, to me, it feels like some bootleg company out of like maybe Turkey, like saw a cool Japanese collectible and had a guy go and sketch those out and then come back to the factory and had everybody make toys based on his crappy drawings.
To me, I like having a few of them. They take up a large footprint, though. You know, being 8 inches tall and to scale with that 8 inches, they're not Stretch Armstrong where they just made them the same width. So they're wider. They take some good space. I'm at a point now, especially when I saw that Spider-Man go half off, that I'm only buying the ones that I really like. They came out with a bronze metallic Spider-Man that was almost like a giant spider Oscar. And I'm like, all right, I need that. It sold out in under 5 minutes at Entertainment Earth, but I actually got it cheaper on eBay. But it's like the ones that I really, really like and are low, low edition numbers, I'll get full price. All the others, I'm just going to sit back and wait for the secondary market on these.
Yeah.
I loved the Spider-Man. I loved their first entry, but the more they dilute it, the less I'm like, yeah, I may not have to have that.
I guess I'm just kind of glad that they don't appeal to me, because as we're going to talk about throughout the show, there's so many people out there making so many Marvel things. And it used to be that maybe one or two companies might fill in that like over-stylized, bigger head, cutesy type of space. But man, after this year, it seems like there's quite a few things to choose from in that area.
Very, very true. And Funko's not just stopping here. They're taking their Pop line, and it popped like popcorn all over their booth. They have a new line called Pop Home. Yes, Funko is in the housewares business now.
Yeah, they're taking the faces and heads and making like cups out of them. They've also got little salt and pepper shakers and that kind of stuff. Eventually, they're going to have spatulas and a whole bunch of other fun stuff.
Where could I buy that spatula?
Spatula City.
Yeah, they had Captain America and Iron Man salt and pepper shakers, or Black Spider-Man and Red Spider-Man salt and pepper, which I think is actually easier to tell which is the salt and which is the pepper versus is Captain America pepper? I honestly don't know. Maybe Iron Man is pepper because he's dating her.
Well, they should have Iron Man and Pepper Potts, yeah.
But then they also have the coffee mugs, and this is cute stuff, but this is not for collectors. Well, maybe the salt and pepper shakers are.
I don't know. I could see him having a mug or two on my desk.
Yeah, there's so many mugs out there, though. I don't know that having a Pop head with the cranium cut open like it's brain surgery is exactly the mug.
Well, it's sculpted. You know, so many mugs are just printed on.
True.
It might be cool to have something like that, just even to hold your pens or something on your desk.
The thing that gets me is they're plastic.
Yeah, I don't like drinking out of plastic mugs. That's why I said maybe for your desk for pens and that kind of stuff. Maybe we can get some coffee beans, put them in there, and then hold our pens.
Because everybody puts their pens in coffee beans, like I said. They've also got Pop keychains, which are just going to be mini-looking Pop vinyls that are coming out, and they've got Age of Ultron ones of those on the way.
That's cool. I've seen some of those in other properties. I think I saw a DC one at Barnes & Noble's, and I was like, oh, that's cool, but now we're getting some Marvel ones.
And of course, the Pop vinyls keep coming, but not as much as we've seen in years past. They are going to be doing some more comic-based ones, but all we got to see on display from them was the Age of Ultron ones that we knew were coming, the Deadpool with Chimichanga truck.
Nice.
And that's a set that I was a little bit worried about the price of.
They usually keep those around $25.
Yep, that's all it was. I was really happy with $25. I was scared because that truck is pretty big. I thought that it might be more. Are you going to be getting Deadpool's Chimichanga truck?
Quite possibly. So far, I've held off on some of those deluxe sets where they have the big vehicle or accessory and a character, but that might be the one that I decide to go ahead and get. I was real close to getting the DeLorean one at one point, but the Chimichanga trunk might be the one that breaks me.
They're also the only company that I have seen doing TV Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. tie-ins. We got to see an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent May pop vinyl figure.
Yeah, I don't know if they did the whole line. I checked their Facebook page and they hadn't revealed any more, but they did have an Agent May.
Hmm.
And they did Coulson before, but he's kind of hybrid because he was in movies. But this is the first original to the TV series character to get popped. They also had an Ant-Man movie pop vinyl, which you can pre-order now at Dorkside Toys, our sponsor. But as if all of this wasn't enough, they are now doing an imprint or a label. We had talked on a previous show about previews, and it was a little confusing because it was like Funko, but Vinyl Sugar, but Dorbs? What are we talking about here? So fortunately, Allison at Funko was able to explain it to me. And basically, the way Random House publishes books, but it has a lot of smaller companies, like Del Rey does their genre books, their science fiction books. Vinyl Sugar is going to be its own brand of Funko merchandise. And this is going to be higher end vinyl collectibles that are only going to be sold at higher end shops. They aren't trying to get these into Walmart's, Targets, and that sort of thing.
Well, no, that kills the market. I mean, if you talk to smaller retailers, they'll tell you that once an item can be bought at Target or Walmart, it just destroys it for them.
So this is their way, I guess, to get back to what the pops used to be when you could only get them at a comic store or something.
Yeah, they just hit the reset button on their cool vinyl factor. That's what they did.
And I said, when will the pops bubble pop? This is perhaps the contingency plan, the next lines to get out there. So if people tire of popping, they have something else in the works.
Popping.
They got to stop popping before they can dorbs.
And they're all over the map. The first line we'll be talking about this. They have these super deluxe vinyls. And one, I wonder if you'll go in on, Justin. I know you're not all in on everything Deadpool, but they're going to be doing some vinyl figures that are about 8 inches tall called super deluxe vinyls. And they're coming out this year. They've announced 3 characters so far. There's a Rocket Raccoon who comes with a Baby Groot, although I guess I'm not supposed to call him Baby Groot. We were informed by Uncle Milton, it is not Baby Groot. They were informed by Marvel, it's just Groot.
Well, he's potted Groot then. I mean, we have to show that he's different somehow from just Groot, right?
I'm not making packaging, so we're going to continue to call him Baby Groot on the show.
Or Cute Groot, whichever you prefer.
But then there's the full-grown Groot. And then Deadpool. And this Deadpool has some attitude.
Yeah, see, when I was just talking about the style that they had in some of those other lines from the Mystery Minis, it looks like they brought that style into this new line. Like, this is cool looking to me. I mean, you got exaggerated feet and a large head. Like, the 4 that they're showing here, I'm probably more excited about these things than anything else new that they've shown at this show.
Yeah, there's actually only 3. The Cute Groot comes with the Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, okay. And that Rocket is cool. He's got some attitude. He's kind of growling and giving you the stink eye.
Now, these are more high-end collectibles, though. These are going to be around 75 to 80, kind of in that Hikari price range.
Ooh, I think you just burst my bubble. So I might be picky and choosy on these, huh?
But they're big. I mean, they're not going to be tiny. The price, it didn't shock me because I've been buying the Hikari stuff. But by the same token, I was glad there were just 3. I can see myself getting these 3. But the key with the Hikari is the variants are what get you. And with the Vinyl Sugar, they're not doing variants or chases and exclusives and all of that repaint kind of stuff. And that actually entices me more to get them, knowing that there's not going to be blue and yellow Deadpool and gray Deadpool and slightly different tinged red Deadpool.
Yeah, you're right. It does make it a little daunting to the completionist. Like, okay, I gave you $75 for this. Oh, damn it. There's another one. Now I've got to try to find that. Oh, it's even harder to find. But yeah, see, to me, those Hikaris just never hit me in my sweet spot. But these are designed in a way that really catches my eye. So where I could never see myself dumping that kind of money on the Hikaris, like, these are a little bit more in my wheelhouse.
I'm not the Deadpool fan you are. I'm getting the Deadpool. The Rocket and Groot I don't like as much, but that Rocket with the cute Groot is probably a buy.
Yeah, I would rate them actually. The Rocket and Groot are my favorite, and then Deadpool, and then the Groot by himself is probably my least favorite, but he's still pretty cool looking.
I like his mouth expression and the little green tinges.
Yeah.
Good paint on these.
And how tall are they? About 8 inches?
Yeah.
All right.
But if you're looking for something smaller in Vinyl Sugar, the line they're doing, and they are bringing out so many characters in this, but it's strictly comic books. So if you dip your toe in both Marvel and DC, you're going to have a lot of characters here you're going to be able to collect. The Dorbs line.
Obviously, a play on Totes Adorbs.
That's a little troublesome to me. The name is a little bit too, I don't know, 13-year-old girl.
That was not an editing trick. You both said that.
So it must be true.
Yes, absolutely.
Having said that, I'm sure I'll be buying the Harley Quinn one for my 9-year-old girl, though.
I really like these. I understand. Again, they have this kind of faux Japanese feel. It's probably intensified by the eyes they've given all of these characters.
Oh, yeah. The cute smile, smile eyes.
They have a smile, and it's like the smile is literally turned upside down to create the eyes.
Yeah, the half moon. So you said that they have comic book license, but I'm looking at the Guardians. The Guardians ones look like they're movie-based. So is it possible that they're going to have some movie stuff going forward?
You're right, and they went beyond just Guardians. I mean, they've got Yondu and Korath, and those do look very movie-based, Gamora. It's all one line. I think right now they're kind of bridging that. I don't know if they're calling these movie character versions or not. I don't think they're going to come out under like a Guardians subline of Dorbs.
Sure. But what I'm saying is maybe in the future we will see Ant-Man, if that was already in the works, a movie-style one, as opposed to just doing a straight-up comic version.
Yeah, that is possible.
Now, how tall are these? It's hard for me to get a sense of scale. I'm guessing around 3 inches.
That would be about right, yeah. They're just a little smaller than Pops.
These are attractive to me because I think I get like a little bit of a nostalgic feel from them. They kind of remind me of Fisher-Price Little People on steroids.
We kind of talked about that with Allison, how they looked like little Fisher-Price people.
Yeah, I'm digging them. You almost would want to describe them as all using the same buck with a few things added on, but that's not necessarily true. They might use the similar body and maybe the head, but looks like there's enough added on to some of these that they're all unique. They don't feel like, remember Hasbro's Mighty Mugs?
Yeah.
Yeah, those felt like those were just painted onto the same thing all the time.
Well, they did about the same thing that I think they're doing here, because those often had sculpted heads or at least accessories that you could put on a head, like Thor's helmet and various capes and weapons. Here, yeah, I think by and large, it is all the same body, but then the heads when needed. Ghost Rider has the flame head, Thor has the helmet head, and so they're at least doing the sculpting above the neck. But Magneto does have a cape.
Nice. So, okay, these aren't going to be available at regular retail. Where are we going to be able to find these?
Those are at the specialty retailers like your comic book shops and places like that.
She wasn't even sure. They're still working this out. But she wasn't sure if it would be through Diamond or not, because that will make the difference on if you can get them at virtually every online store or just select online stores.
Uh-huh.
But if they're trying to get into comic book shops, Diamond distribution is usually the way to go. Now, the basic figures are going to be basically Pop price. And again, I want to reiterate something that means a lot to me. No exclusives. They're not doing so many. They realize that I'm interpreting it as they realize the Pop Vinyls exclusives. There were so many that it became common to have so many variants of characters out there. And this means that there's not going to be the Hot Topic exclusives and all of that, you're just going to be able to get them at stores and at about $10 a piece. But they're also doing XL Dorbs. And these are maybe 5 to 6 inches. They're not doing nearly as many, but they did show Rocket Raccoon and Groot. And those were really very adorable. I love Rocket Raccoon's tail on there. And those are going to be around 25 a piece or so.
Those are strange ones to be the first ones out of the gate, because as we were just talking, they are two of the ones that break the rules more than any other ones. Rocket's got his own unique head, and so does Groot. They don't feel like they're from the same vinyl collection that we were just talking about necessarily.
Yeah, I imagine they're hitting Guardians while it's still hot, and that we'll probably see more as that comes down, but I'm glad they're not going to flood the market with both scales right off the bat, too. And the big ones look significantly different in my mind from the small ones, where it doesn't just look like it's Honey, I Blew Up the Dorbs. I mean, they're close enough, but it's not a one for one.
Right. So I would say that's probably the thing I'm most excited about out of Funko this year.
Yeah, and I asked them about San Diego Comic-Con exclusives, because when they said no exclusives, I always think Comic-Con, there might be Comic-Con exclusives, but get this, the Vinyl Sugar, they may redo Funko's booth, and Vinyl Sugar would appear to have basically its own booth, its own area that would be separately branded even, and its own like checkout.
Oh, cool. So maybe we can get there before everybody else knows what they are.
And the final bit of news from Funko, they didn't have this out because Toy Fair is where they sell to retailers, but as we discussed on our last regular episode, there's something Funko isn't selling to retailers. There's something they're selling directly to consumers that I did ask Allison about, the Funko Collector Core. And Justin, you were a bit of a cynic, I guess I'll use the term, on the last show about that Hulkbuster Iron Man Funko Pop.
Was I being cynical? Yeah, maybe I was. I wasn't being cynical about the pop, but maybe about its exclusivity.
Which is why I asked specifically about its exclusivity. I asked, will the Hulkbuster Pop Iron Man be coming out in a general release or a repainted version or any other version of that mold through any other channel? I think I covered my bases with that phrasing.
Seems pretty thorough.
I was told no, not even internationally. She said that a lot of the North American exclusives, they would release overseas regularly, and then you'd be able to get them from some Australian websites and things I have ordered from myself. And the Hulkbuster will not be released in any other way. If you want a Hulkbuster pop, the Funko Collector Marvel Core is the only way to get it.
Well, that's inconvenient. I would suggest subscribing, guys.
I don't know. I want to believe her, but like, isn't there like maybe like a dot, dot, dot at the end of that? Like, no, not this year or not before July. I mean,
I can't ever say never, but I do believe that at this time, there are no other plans for a release of this. And she said what I said. They really want this collector's subscription box to be successful, and they would be undercutting themselves if they released that another method.
Right.
So I think you'd be looking at least a year, if ever. If Hulkbuster stays hot, maybe sometime, and maybe they decide to do a black and white for Comic-Con, which I wouldn't even consider the same thing.
No.
But it's not going to be you're going to go into Barnes & Noble and find that Hulkbuster without a sticker on the box.
All right. I'll buy it.
At least it was asked and answered. I mean, we're going with the information we got.
That's right. Yeah, it would have been, if she was even the least bit cagey, I suppose I would still be sitting here on the cynical side of the fence. But I think it's convincing enough that now I have to rethink my strategy on if I'm going to subscribe to the service or not.
I think we're back to discussing whether we have one subscription or two.
It's probably going to be two, isn't it?
It depends on if you want a shirt.
I think I do. I think we're going to have to do two.
It should be two for you. As long as we're not spending my money. I mean, it's two for you.
Well, after we left the Funko booth, we traveled down the aisle and visited our friend Dan at Kotobukiya. And for those who aren't familiar with Kotobukiya, they have been doing Marvel collectibles for so long now with their fine art statues, which are 1/6 scale statues, high-end collectible statues. They've also got their smaller 8-9 inch Artifacts Plus vinyl statues. They did the Adi Granov series last year. They're doing the X-Men this coming year. They didn't have any of those out on display, though. They've got the Bishojo line of the Pretty Women, and they also have the Artifacts vinyl statues for Marvel movies. And while we were there, we talked to Dan, and he gave us a little tour of his booth.
So we're at the Kotobukiya booth with Dan Luan again. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hi, Arnie. How's it going?
It's going great. You guys have an immensely impressive display here, not with quantity, but with the quality of items you guys have out. You have the number one thing I've seen at Toy Fair here, and we're going to talk about it in a little bit. But we'll save the best for last.
Sounds
Let's
good.
Go through some of the other stuff. First of all, we were talking about the X-Men Adi Granov Artifacts Plus, because the Avengers are now all out. I just got my Iron Men last week.
Yep.
We got Deadpool coming in between, I understand?
Deadpool should be arriving to retailers sometime mid to late March. As you may be aware, there is some backup at the port, so things are taking a little longer to get processed into our warehouse in the U.S. But yeah, he's still on schedule to be here late this month, and hopefully we'll have him in retail by March. The black and gray version, that's the Diamond Previews exclusive, so you can get that through vendors who purchase through Diamond. And then the red and black outfit is the standard release. What's unique about this piece, aside from the extra pieces, is he does come with the sign, and it's an actual board that you can, it has a dry erase pen, so you can write your own messages. As you can see, we've had some fun at the show writing our own messages on this board.
Will any standard dry erase marker work on that?
Sure, yeah.
Because I want to put the Marvelicious Toys logo in full color on his sign and have him just touting our show.
That'd be great. Actually, we provide a pen, and it has an eraser integrated on the cap. So you'll get that straight out of the package. But yeah, I imagine any dry eraser pen will work with this particular sign.
Very cool. And anything else coming up in the future of Artifacts Plus, or is it you're focusing on the Avengers line or the X-Men line for right now?
Right now, the focus is the X-Men line, and we've been working very closely with Adi to get the artwork completed. First up will be Cyclops. I believe, and I have to check on this, but I believe he'll be available sometime summer or fall of this year. And then from Cyclops, we'll be going to Emma Frost, and then I believe Magneto, and then it'll go into 2016. We also have plans in the works for another line after the X-Men, so we're real excited about that. So the line's gonna just continue to grow, and we're just gonna add more characters as they come.
That's great. And what I love about this is having all the Avengers the way you've got them here is for collectors, especially with space as a premium, you're able to get so many in a nice, compact, but impressive display.
Yeah, that's one of the high points or selling points of the Artifacts Plus collection, at least in this form. We've kind of gone out of that boundary with other statues, and I can bring those examples up when we get to them. But for this line and for the DC line, the magnets on the feed and the included black base, square base, allows you to position it wherever you'd like. Even the Deadpool one, as you can see, it has a circular logo base, but it still allows you to position them wherever you'd like on that base. So there can be overlap if you get both versions of Deadpool.
And I'm just going to throw this out there as ideas. I know you love suggestions. Blue and yellow Deadpool for Comic-Con.
Ah, blue and yellow Deadpool. Well, you know, we've got a lot of surprises in store for Comic-Con, so I'm just going to say that in the coming months, your listeners can and look forward to those announcements.
And then moving into the Avengers Age of Ultron stuff, you've got an Artifacts statue, which you guys, as far as Marvel goes, you primarily do those for the movies. You had the Iron Man 3, the War Machine, and the Mark 42. And now you've got the Mark 43 here.
Yes, this is a first-time announcement for the show. It's the 43 armor in a museum pose. He will have lights within the chest, the eyes, and I believe the palms, too, will light up. I'm not sure if that's just a standard switch that'll turn those lights on. I don't think there'll be any other. I know before we've done sound activation and motion. I believe this will just be a standard switch, but I'm not sure on that.
And the base there, it's not light up, but it's got like this translucent red behind the Avengers A on it.
Yeah, I think that's a really neat kind of feature of the base, and it makes the Ace stand out and gives it a nice look, because you can see there's detailing under the translucent red plastic that was used.
Yeah, I definitely see a display with maybe some rope lights you could put under there just a little bit. Sure. Also to bottom illuminate that would be very cool. Yeah.
So this continues our line of Iron Man Artifacts releases. We did Iron Man for Iron Man 3, Iron Man 2, plus we also had one for the Avengers. So it'll be a nice piece for the collector who's been picking up those particular items.
And then also for Age of Ultron, you've got the ArtFX Plus coming, which is, I'm surprised you're able to call that a plus statue with the size it is. It really is outside the scale of what I normally consider ArtFX Plus from you guys.
It is, without question, the largest, most elaborate, and complex ArtFX Plus we've ever attempted. And I think the results are just stunning. And one thing, and we were talking about this before we began this interview, is it's something you really need to see in person. I mean, pictures don't do it justice. And collectors that are familiar with the ArtFX Plus name, they know it's 1/10 scale. But when you see the Hulkbuster just towering over the Hulk, you really begin to understand what we set out to accomplish.
Yeah, I was just impressed with the amount of detail. I mean, the Hulk is great, but he's dwarfed both physically and in just terms of impressiveness by that Iron Man. We've talked so much about the Iron Man off mic that I've ignored the Hulk, but he looks great. I love the green and the slight wash on him and the Age of Ultron pants. He looks really good. But that Hulkbuster, the amount of detail under the armor, in the joints that you've put, on the bottom of the feet that you've got, and you guys do such a great job, and I am endlessly impressed how you're able to give a metallic look to a vinyl collectible. You do it with the ArtFX, you do it with the ArtFX Plus, but that looks really, it's got that kind of car gloss to it.
Yeah, and we actually went through several paint applications just to get it right. And we got the assets from Marvel Studios, so that armor is the same data that was used in the film. And the sculptor, Abisan, is the same sculptor that worked on the Avengers ArtFX Plus, a tremendous talent that works with the company. So Hulk, as you can probably tell, is hand sculpted. The Hulkbuster is a combination of a digital printout of the armor and then the sculptor actually taking those pieces and placing them in the position, in the pose that you see there, to really bring the whole piece together. So it's a nice combination of both old traditional and new technology just to bring together a really impressive piece.
And then moving on to the fine art statues, we've seen the ones you've got here before. Are these different? Are these production samples versus prototypes that we're taking a look at? Or are these have these been production? I think the last time we saw them in person was New York Comic Con.
Yeah, I believe the Wolverine is a production sample, so because that's going to be shipping shortly. The Rogue is a paint master, so that's the same one that we unveiled, I believe, at New York Comic Con last year. And Carnage, I'd have to look into that. I believe that may be an early factory sample or the paint master. I'm not sure on that one. But yeah, those we've shown these pieces before. We're just showing them again so everyone knows that the line is here. Generally, we like to show a new piece here at the show, and we wanted to do that, but we had to reshuffle a few things around. But I want to assure everyone that the line is going strong. Eric Sosa is still on board. He's actually working right now on a project. And for San Diego Comic-Con, we're going to have a real, real blowout for the Marvel Fine Art statue line. So we're really looking forward to that.
Awesome. And then you kind of spoiled the show a little bit by showing off the new Bishojos through your Facebook page ahead of time. But good to see Wasp here in person.
Well, you know, a week ago, we had the Wonder Festival in Japan. So those pieces were shown and unveiled during that event. So we wanted to kind of get those announcements out on Facebook around the same time or a little earlier. So, but we are showing the Wasp in person for the first time. And the other announcement that you are referring to, Lady Deadpool, we're showing the artwork here. And I want to let everyone know that we've received some comments about Lady Deadpool having an alternative portrait unmasked. And I'm happy to say that we'll be able to offer that for that particular release.
And would that be a scarred face or an unscarred face on Lady Deadpool?
As of now, we're looking at an unscarred face.
All right, great. And anything else coming up with the Marvel line that our listeners should know about?
Other than the fact that we have plans to continue the Bishojo line well into next year and beyond, like I said earlier, the Marvel Fine Art line is going strong, and we'll be debuting some new characters at San Diego Comic-Con. And as far as the Marvel Cinematic Universe goes, we're fully on board to support those particular movies as they come out. And those announcements, of course, will be happening when the timing is appropriate. But we're really on board with the Marvel property, and they love the work we do, and we love what they do. So it's a great partnership.
So to talk around what you can't talk about, will there be further Marvel Cinematic Universe announcements this year?
This year, most likely, no. Our schedule is full. So what you're seeing here is probably it for 2015. It's a lot, because when you take into the fact that the X-Men Artifacts Plus consists of seven characters, that's seven distinct SKUs or UPCs that we have scheduled. Not all of those will be released this year, but that's a full lineup for the Artifacts Plus line.
So nothing for Ant-Man?
No.
Okay, well, Dan, thank you very much for the time. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Arnie.
Yeah, I told Dan off the mic, when I saw the price of that Artifacts Plus Hulkbuster, I kind of blanched a little bit. I mean, the most expensive Artifacts Plus I'd ever bought was the Hulk, and he was only $90. This was so much more expensive than that, being about $150, $160. When I saw it in person, worth more than that. I would think this is a $200 collectible.
Wow.
The scale is right. I mean, Hulk is big in this thing. It's about the same size as the other Artifacts Plus Hulk. And then Hulkbuster is to scale with it. And the combination of the digital, all of the brushwork to make the Hulkbuster armor look scraped and a little battle-worn, it's Hot Toys level good. It's not articulated, but it's Hot Toys level good.
No, I mean, you're right. That totally caught my eye. Like, you know, where edges would get, you know, scuffed on things, you can see a little bit of silver showing through here and there. It's gorgeous. It doesn't look like plastic painted. It looks like a shrunken down metal item.
I have no idea what alchemy Kotobukiya uses to make their vinyl look like car metal, but they've always been able to do it. Marjorie bought me one of the Artifacts vinyl Iron Man Mark III's back when they did those, and I was just so impressed with how good that looked.
Yeah, it looks tremendous.
Yeah, like we've been saying, this is going to be the year of the Hulkbuster, and this one is, I'd say, top of the list right now until we get to see detailed images of Hot Toys. But this is the best Hulkbuster that I have seen yet.
But, and keep in mind, this is $150.
Oh, I'm not even comparing price or quality. I'm saying just as far as what we know is coming, mm-hmm. So far, this is the best looking one that we have seen.
Yeah, but when Hot Toys comes out, assuming it looks this good, it's going to cost the price of five of these. We also went over to Uncle Milton's booth. We've reviewed some of their items. They are the Fungicational Company. They're a science company. They exist to make science toys, and they're educational, but also fun. And we reviewed their Thor's hammer that taught about electricity and their Iron Man repulsor. And we've had them on the show before last year at Toy Fair talking about some of their other Marvel stuff. But this year, they have two absolutely perfect products that I have to own. And I'm an adult, and I would be buying these for my nieces and nephews too. The first is Grow and Glow Groot.
This is cute because it's like a little potted plant where you can grow Groot with some wheatgrass around them, and then like a little tendril and his fingers glow.
What?
Yeah, it's like Chia Groot.
Yeah.
The Groot is a statue, and it is almost perfectly one-to-one scale. But then you get seeds and you plant, and so grass will grow around the Groot, as will this one extra long tendril that you can wrap around him. It's a real plant instead of on like the Groots we reviewed before, and they had that green thing wrapped around him, that model kit we did. This is literal plant that you grow and water and wrap around him. And then he has light up branches so he can light up his hands like Big Groot did in the movie.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And it's just such a cute sculpt and a real plant. Gotta do it.
Yeah, I'm kind of into that. And you know what? It's kind of less Chia. And like, I've seen a trend lately of people having little cups and boxes of just a patch of grass growing on their desk. Like, this would be one of those type of tchotchkes.
Yeah, my company sells something like that.
But the other thing they have, and I need to work out the tech on this. I need this. And I think we need to set up an entire page on Marvelicious dedicated to this at MarveliciousToys.com. Uncle Milton made their name by being the company to make the first ant farms. That's what they did, and they have grown from there.
Hmm.
Well, how perfect is an Ant-Man ant farm? Best Ant-Man movie tie-in ever.
I've never understood how an ant farm works. What do you get? You get a little like etch-a-sketch type of thing, and then you put your own sand in there and get your own ants.
I think it comes with sand, and you mail away for the ants. They come in a little vial, and you just dump them in, and apparently they start building their little colonies. Now, they were feeding them like chocolate chip cookies and Nature Valley granola bars.
Yeah, you just gotta put a little few crumbs of food in there for the ants to eat. There are no queens. So the ants don't breed. They won't ship queens. But you get all these worker ants, and yeah, you just give them ants, and they'll dig their own tunnels. And because of how thin it is, you're able to see the entire intricacies of the tunnels they dig in their futile little life in this glass box, eating what crumbs you give them until they die.
Man, as cool as I might find this and as clever as I might think the Ant-Man crossover is, I could never have this in my house. Shev would not allow it. She hates ants like you wouldn't believe.
I honestly think we need an Ant-Man ant cam at MarveliciousToys.com.
Just a live cam.
A live cam. What, if you're bored at the office, watch my ants.
I dig it. Let's do it.
I'm planning on it. I am so buying this when it comes out and a webcam. It's like 1996 all over again. I've never owned an ant farm. Uncle Milton is opening me up to so much. I'd never done a baking soda volcano until they did the Mustafar, and I've never owned an ant farm.
Your childhood dreams are finally coming true.
They're also going to redo the Iron Man arc reactor lab that lights up and you can build it. It's a puzzle there in new Avengers packaging. So that's coming from Uncle Milton as well.
But Tony doesn't have an arc reactor anymore.
Hmm.
I suppose the suit is still equipped with some sort of arc reactor. It's just not in his chest anymore.
Well, it's obviously in the chest of the suit. It's just not in his chest.
Right.
And finally, the last booth tour we got at Toy Fair was at Diamond Select Toys with Zach Oat, and they are really going to be coming out with quite a bit. Now, they have a weird kind of thing with Disney where they're not able to reveal that they're doing any Disney exclusive figures until they're actually on the shelves. So we didn't get to see the brand new figure that just came out, which is Hammer Swing Thor, which is available now at MarvelShop.com. But there, remember that Bowen statue that kind of had the blur effect on the hammer?
Yeah, where it's like a bunch of hammers, but it looks like he's spinning it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now they've got that on the Diamond Select figure.
Huh. That's kind of cool.
It does look pretty damn cool.
I kind of dig the comic style they got going on here. It's very, very similar to the Thor that just came out in the Hasbro line as far as costume and style goes.
And this is the first of many Marvel Select figures they're going to be coming out with. They had on display from Avengers. They're doing the most Diamond Select figures for Age of Ultron that they've ever done for a Marvel movie. Thor, Black Widow, and Hulk.
Have you ever seen that meme that runs around the internet? The Thor-Yow? It's like Thor in a L'Oreal commercial.
No.
Don't hate him because he's worthy.
Yeah. Yeah, his hair is kind of girlish in this picture.
But Black Widow totally rocks to be getting the movie style Scarlett Johansson Black Widow in this. And I think the detail on the outfit plus her weapons looks really good. I love all the red accents in her new outfit. I've never been able to see the red and blue lines as well as I could on this Diamond Select figure. And Hulk has such a Ruffalo likeness. You know how you can see Mark Ruffalo's face in the Hulk CGI? It really comes through here with the hair and the eyebrows and the outfit and with the paint wash. This one, I'm sorry, it smashes Puny Legend.
Well, it's a good update to the previous movie Avengers Hulk from Diamond. You know, it's going to have different pants for sure. And I mean, who cares if they reuse the same arms and body, but this one looks like it's almost a better green than the last time around. I remember we kind of complained a little bit about that first one being too dark of a green. This seems to be more accurate.
The one thing I think, though, is that this Hulk is around the same size as the other Select Hulks, so it isn't right in movie scale to the movie figures, but any Marvel Legends collector, this is the Hulk to put with your Legends.
That's where mine lives right now.
We also got to see the Ant-Man Select, which looked really cool. I'm starting to have this movie outfit of Ant-Man really grow on me with the silver and the red. And
no, yeah, it's funny you bring that up because, you know, I know that we feel a little bit cold on the whole Ant-Man thing, and that's just because we don't know anything about it. But the more I see this suit, the more it's kind of given me that same kind of feel that I got the first time I saw Iron Man, which made me realize to make a cool superhero movie, you got to start with a cool outfit. And it's the same reason why I don't watch a lot of that DC stuff that's on TV now. Like, I don't care how cool of a show The Flash is. I'm sorry, he looks goofy in that outfit, you know? But they got this right. This looks pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I think the Select actually helped sell me on it. And just seeing this figure, I'm like, that figure looks cool. Plus, seeing some of the Hasbro pictures. But I like this outfit quite a bit.
If they could have somehow made that mini version of him somehow articulated, I would have been over the moon excited about this figure.
And then I got to see in person for the first time non-movie Selects the zombie Sabretooth, who's nice and gory with his ripped open rib cage and things. I like that despite being owned by Disney, you can still get a pretty gruesome Marvel collectible like this with the blood and the bone cupping out of his arm.
It is pretty gruesome.
Yeah, he's missing a good portion of his lips. You see a lot of teeth.
His jaw is hinged, so it's another point of articulation there for you.
Nice.
And it's like his jaw's unhinged, too. Like, it's just hanging there.
Yeah, it's pretty gnarly.
And then they had the Cable and the Carnage we first saw at Comic-Con. The alternate head was on the Carnage. Just, I feel like that meme, take my money now.
Shut up and take my money.
Yeah, that's the one.
The Carnage has so much sculpting detail, and it almost looks like muscle fibers in that black area underneath the red.
The paints they used, I think it was a different tone than what we saw originally. He is just so red and so black. It looks like he leapt off the comic pages of Maximum Carnage from the 90s and just became a toy.
Yeah, this is Carnage done right.
And then, unfortunately, the day after we left New York, they put out another Select figure, comic-based Doctor Strange. And I always love the colors on Doctor Strange, and this one looks tremendous with his sculpted cape and just really cool, ginormous 70s collar and his leisure suit medallion.
That's right. Doctor Strange TV show is going to be coming out maybe later this year, so he's going to start showing up in more places.
For Minimates collectors, a lot of those coming. Movie-based is always what gets my excitement. And then the comic-based, there's so many of them, but they got some nice ones coming. I mean, there's a Carnage coming with two alternate heads in that as well. I love that there's this Cletus Cassidy head with the red hair, and you can see, like, the human around the mouth.
That red hair is hilarious.
I know. I really love the swappable parts on these. And Apocalypse, Onslaught, Sabretooth, just a ton of characters coming in this line. A Hobgoblin, and in the picture, there is no hood on the Hobgoblin. He will be coming with a hood. You get the white armor Iron Man.
You get Falcon Cap.
Yeah, just some great figures in that line. Then there's some X-Men figures coming in Wave 60 that are just freaking awesome. You've got a Jubilee with her glasses with Wolverine. You get Blob, Pyro, Avalanche. I mean, these are very cool. There's four villains in this set. It's Wolverine and Blob, Banshee and Pyro, Storm and Avalanche, and then Jubilee against Destiny as a variant set. But they're doing swap out parts. You could take Wolverine and make him Forge. You could take Banshee and make him Gambit. Or you could take Storm and make her Psylocke. I think that's ingenious.
Yeah, it's a great way to get people to buy two of the same pack.
And these outfits, they're just the classic yellow and blue, so it's not that distinct of an outfit, so that you're able to just do head swaps pretty much and power-up swaps.
Yeah.
So no, I'm really digging on that wave. I may pick and choose on my comic-based mini-mates, but I'm going to pick and choose those.
Maybe even twice.
In the movie line, we're getting two waves of Age of Ultron figures. I wasn't able to photograph some of them, not final approved sculpts, but the ones I could see got me pretty excited.
We can probably guess who's in the Avengers lineup.
You get a couple variants of Hawkeye, long-sleeved and short-sleeved, a couple variants of Ultron, orange or blue, Black Widow, Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, and then what I couldn't photograph, a Hulkbuster Iron Man mini-mate.
I think Hulkbuster is a new Iron Man for you.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to do it all to scale, you'd probably almost need a 3¾-inch Hulkbuster. This is just, you know, kind of the same way that Apocalypse is the same size as the other mini-mates. The Hulkbuster's slightly taller than the Hulk, who's the same size as the rest of them.
What I'm liking about the Hulkbuster all across the board is that no matter who manufactures it or what they have set up for how they make toys, it's really hard to cheat on the Hulkbuster. So you almost have to start from scratch with him. The Hulkbuster isn't just like the Iron Man where maybe there's a chest plate that you slip over his head and then a helmet. It looks like there's new legs, new arms, and whole new torso.
You're just a slut for new sculpting.
I am.
You like figures that force them to sculpt.
I do. If I'm paying for it, I want some work done.
There's going to be two different visions in different outfits. That's interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
A Hulk, and then a Hydra soldier in, like, white snow gear. He looks like a James Bond villain.
Hmm. A
G.I. Joe character.
Yeah? What was that one? Snow Job?
Yeah, looking back on that, maybe that wasn't the best name for a kid's toy.
No.
They're also going to be doing some Ant-Man mini-mates I couldn't photograph. They had Ant-Man, Hope, and Hank Pym. And now they're doing something else, a nice little experiment that is cool and semi-frustrating. They're going to do Avengers Age of Ultron mini-mate single-packed blind bag.
Well, everyone's doing blind bag this year. Do you notice? You got the Marvel 500, you've got this, and we're going to talk about Monogram International a little because they've also got blind bagged keychains.
Mm-hmm. Maybe us Americans are finally catching on to the blind bag buying box thing and it's taken off a little bit.
Possibly. We heard different things from different retailers at the show.
Well, I know the ones that I see at the toy store that are the Lego ones that you can buy for $4 in a blind bag. Those are always really popular. So maybe for mini mates, it'll be a more popular thing as well.
I think what's going to make these popular are the character selection. There's 8 different characters here. There's 18 per case. And if you buy a case, you will get a full set and then have 10 extra figures. But what they are is a number of variations of Ultron and then some variations of Iron Man. And then the chase figure is Baron von Strucker.
Are these going to be different from the ones that they're selling in the other sets?
Yes.
Okay.
These are going to be unique to the blind bag assortment.
Interesting.
And then finally, they're retro figures, which I'm hoping we'll be able to review on the show really soon. They finally put out Thor. I was able to see that in person. Of course, Spider-Man is shipping now. Wolverine is shipping soon. Thor may best them all, though, because not only do you get the one with the full hair, just like the Mego Marjorie bought me last year, and not only do you get one that's in like this glittery 70s sequin chainmail looking outfit, but you get Dr. Donald Blake with a frickin' thesiscope.
It's pretty cool.
Now, if that doesn't look like a robot chicken character, I don't know what does. He's got the surgery mask. Yeah, that's pretty great.
Love that. And there was so much more at the show. I mean, head to our website, marvelicioustoys.com. We took photos of every Marvel item we saw. And Jeff and Curtis have been just editing those up. But we got to see in person the Egg Attack floating Iron Man.
It is awesome. Oh my God. It is just so cool.
That is cool.
He rotates, and he was a nice silver, too.
Well, there were two. There was the grayish one, but then there's a chrome one, and I need that chrome one. I can't even remember which one I ordered because I didn't know there were two. Rubies is doing costumes, and oh boy, if you want the most scary costume, I know these aren't Halloween costumes. These are just play costumes. They're sold year-round, but I don't care. You want the scariest Halloween costume this year, get their Ultron, because remember how we talked about what's wrong with his face Hellraiser Ultron at Hasbro?
Yeah.
Now Rubies is making a mask of it.
Yeah, it's kind of weird because one, it looks like the Gimp from Pulp Fiction, if you look at it a certain way, and then other times, it looks like the puppet from Saw.
But they're also doing a Hulkbuster if you want to be the absolute coolest kid who gets like an 8-pound bag of candy when you come to my door. Mm. I will buy entire bags of candy and give it to the Hulkbusters.
But come on. That one looks a little weird.
Yeah.
The head is way too big for the little body. It would be awesome if they could figure out a way to do a huge body.
That's for the cosplayers.
But yeah, that mask is pretty cool.
And then, Justin, do you know the company Metal Earth?
No, I don't believe so.
They're in Barnes & Noble, which is someplace you probably have seen them. But they have these flat metal model kits, and you...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
See?
The silver punch-out.
Yeah, and then you make it yourself.
All right.
Now, someone has told me that it's not as simple as you punch it out and put it together, that there's quite a bit of trim and stuff.
And tools and trimpers and, yeah.
But they're expanding into Marvel now.
Nice. I think I might be able to handle making that shield. Other ones look a little more above my pay grade.
I want that shield so bad. It's so beautiful, isn't it?
That shield was the one that you stole my joke. I'm like, I can do the shield.
Okay, you do the shield. I'll try my hand at the hammer. That doesn't look too terribly advanced.
All right, Marjorie, that leaves you War Machine.
There you go.
I don't have any talent, and I'll probably just end up smashing it. I can't even put together the Rocket Raccoon Lego.
And then Monogram International, the company probably best known for those Avengers statues that used to plague Toys R Us and always break, that spelled Marvel or spelled Avengers.
Oh, yeah. Always broken.
They had something that caught Marjorie's eye. In addition to their continuing lines of bust banks and little statue tchotchkes, they're coming out with blind packaged 3D, they call them foam, keychains.
They look like itty bitty tiny vinyl sugar dorbs figures.
Are these little half body ones?
No, these are full body, and if you have ever seen, the style is called Kwai, but yet these are designs that are Marvel approved because you see it on shirts. Last year at Toy Fair, we saw, what were those shoe things?
Floppets.
Floppets that you put on your shoelaces. We talked about those in last year's Toy Fair coverage. It is the exact same pre-approved designs, but you get Black Widow. They've obviously added new designs for Star-Lord and Groot. But that Hulk is so distinctive. But now you can get them in like 2-inch. They're called foam, but they're not soft. They're nice, hard keychains. And they're just like the best 3D representations of this style.
And Margie, you don't like them? Don't they give you a little bit of a tokey-doikey type of feel?
I know I do like them, but I don't want them as keychains. I'll probably use them as like zipper pulls and stuff.
Yeah, there you go.
Because... I mean, I don't need a keychain that is going to make me look like Schneider from One Day at a Time.
The picture of Hawkeye kind of looks a little South Park-ish.
They do kind of, yeah. They're kind of cute. And you know, I still may change my mind on these. I don't know.
And they may not get wide distribution either. Toy Fair is where Monogram International goes to sell their stuff.
And they're still showing the breakable bookends.
Now, one thing that kind of confused us was the potato heads, because Marvel had potato heads, and remember last year at Comic-Con, we had to track down that Deadpool potato head, and...
Yeah.
Well, PPW is still making Marvel potato heads, and kudos to them for being the only company at Toy Fair to make a Daredevil tie-in. They're doing a Daredevil potato head. So when people see Daredevil on Netflix and are dying for a toy, there will be a tater.
You know there's going to be a major outcry for it.
They're also doing Vision, Star-Lord, and Groot. Those two are everywhere. And an Ant-Man. And those are, you know, only around 10 apiece. I think I can afford to keep up with those.
Now, they're also making little nesting dolls. I don't understand this. I guess I've never coveted a nesting doll. Seems kind of one note.
I actually did covet nesting dolls when I was really young and my father went to Russia and brought back nesting dolls. I was probably like 3, but I would unnest and re-nest and unnest and re-nest those Russian dolls.
I thought they were pretty cool when they used to show that bit on Sesame Street with the ones that would do it themselves, and they got down to like almost like a little pill size.
Yes, I think that's what made me enamored with them was that Sesame Street skit. Thank you for that memory.
Well, PPW is also putting out a line of these nesting dolls, but I'd like to remind them, and you guys too, I don't know if you remember that, about 6 years ago, Gentle Giant put out a series of nesting dolls that they called, Chubs or something?
Yeah, the Chubs.
For Star Wars?
Yeah, and they failed miserably. I mean, they couldn't give them away at the end.
Actually, they were called Chubbies.
Chubbies, which is, again, a foul name.
Yeah, you don't want to ask for a chubby.
I just think of Bill and Ted. I got a full-on robot chubby.
But to be honest with you, these kind of feel like a cheap way out of doing a nesting doll. Like, it feels like Easter egg wrap stickers on the front rather than doing a good design all the way around, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what they looked like. And again, I don't know. Are people clamoring for this? I don't know. We'll see.
Nice thing to try out. I will not be buying. The final bit of news, though, coming from Toy Fair, and I can't cite my source. A source close to the situation who wishes to remain anonymous spoke to me under the condition of anonymity about Play Imaginative.
Dun, dun, dun.
Poor Justin. Poor Marjorie.
I have been the Pollyanna of Marvelicious toys. I've actually, the entire trip, referred to myself as Optimo, the superhero with the power of never-ending optimism.
Didn't I call you Optimus Arnie?
I have been the lone holdout. We're coming up on 2 years since you guys ordered Iron Patriots at San Diego Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked the person close, what's the situation? I knew that they had come out with a War Machine in both the big 1/4 and the 1/12 scale, but they're kind of hard to get in the States. Also overseas, the 1/12, the, you know, 6-inch Legend scale die-cast Iron Man Mark 42 has been released. Well, this source has heard, but could not confirm, and I cannot confirm either, that between the time that they announced all of these toys and now, not only has the head of Play Imaginative changed, but they have been bought by another company.
What?
And this other company is not designing to the exacting manufacturing standards they had in the past. And the Mark 42s are plagued with problems from just bad instructions that have people breaking the figures to paint problems to joint issues, all kinds of just production problems. And according to my source, Play Imaginative doesn't take returns. So if you buy from an e-tailer, you may be able to swap with that e-tailer, and then that e-tailer's kind of stuck.
I don't like where this is going, by the way, just for the record at this point.
So, the source has said that the odds are, due to these issues, these figures may never be imported into the States, if they're ever made.
So that's it then, huh?
It's time, folks.
We can pack up and go home.
We can.
Ask for the refunds, because if you get it, you might not want it.
Yeah, but at least, Justin, we didn't get a subpar product.
At this point, it's just nice to be able to put it to bed and be like, okay, fine, that never happened. You know?
Exactly.
Because to be honest with you, it kind of, I mean, we talked about this a year and a half ago. It kind of missed the window of opportunity for me being super psyched about the Iron Patriot armor. I mean, I still dig it. I still like it. It's still cool. But a little bit of the shine is worn off at this point, you know? So, all right, I'm going to be getting my money back.
I think I am too. I mean, they did last update on November 20th on their Facebook page about the 6-inch Iron Patriot, but it does appear that it is going to be problematic to get. So yeah, I wish I could cite my source. I can't. It's a journalism thing, but I am canceling my order. Everyone who's listening can do as they please with their play imaginative, but I am going to cancel my order of that figure, and I'm going to cancel my order of the other two as well, the War Machine and the Mark 42.
Hey, looking at it this way, we're a couple $100 closer to a Hot Toys Hulkbuster.
And Marjorie owes me a 39th birthday present.
I do.
Right on time.
But that is it. There is so much more than we have time to talk about on the show. Head to our website, marvelicioustoys.com, for pictures from NECA, HeroClix, and more Egg Attacks, pictures of the Gentle Giant Jumbo figures that I'm so glad I bought now that I've seen them in person, Eagle Moss chess pieces, a Deadpool clock for you, Justin.
Oh, yeah. Some cool stuff over at Figma. There's just so much Marvel stuff this year, and it's, for as much as we thought was coming out in just the 6-inch Hasbro line, wow. Marvel is, would you say, at its peak of popularity right now?
If it's not at its peak, it's up at the top of the bell curve.
Yeah, I was a comic collector in the 90s when comics reached their zenith. And the tie-in products were nothing compared to what we have today. Nothing. We had those Marvel superhero toys that I talk about so often where Hulk had a rock.
Yeah.
This is unlike anything I have seen ever. I mean, it's exploded. It's amazing that a major player like Bowen could step out, and still there's so much stuff. And don't forget, Gentle Giant, Sideshow, Hot Toys, none of them were at Toy Fair. That's still looming.
Mm-hmm. It's a great time to be a Marvel collector.
And it's a great time to visit our sponsor, Dorkside Toys, where you can pre-order a ton of stuff. They've got all of the upcoming vinyl pops. Also, get your order in now for that Spider-Man Legends wave with the Hobgoblin and all of those kick-ass figures, or the Infinite Series with two different Beasts, two different Sandmans, Hawkeye, Daredevil, Bishop, Black Cat, and Big Time Spider-Man. We appreciate their support of our show. It was nice. We actually ran into them at Midtown Comics in New York.
Of all places, we were in Midtown Comics, and some guys stopped us and go, Arnie? Marjorie?
They recognized us by our voice.
Crazy. And you said, Dorkside guys?
We hope they made it home safe. We all had trouble with the snow.
Yeah, you guys are lucky you weren't in Boston. That's even worse, but I'm glad you guys made it home and are back in the home studio.
Yep, and we will be back in the studio in 2 weeks with our next episode. There's new Marvel Legends we're going to be reviewing.
Oh, yeah.
No, Odin.
Odin. All right, so all that and more on the next Marvelicious Toys.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Marvelicious Toys. If you enjoyed this podcast, please help our show by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes. There's even more Marvelicious content at our website, marvelicioustoys.com. At the site, you can see pictures of the products we discussed, find checklists for Marvel toys, talk and trade toys in the Marvelicious forums, and much more. It's all at marvelicioustoys.com. You can see more videos and reviews by subscribing to the Marvelicious Toys YouTube channel. You can find the link from our homepage. We want to hear your thoughts on Marvel collectibles. You can leave reports of your latest toy finds as well as product reviews on our voicemail at 803-MARVEL-4. That's 803-627-8354. Or email an MP3 or iPhone voice memo to show@marvelicioustoys.com. Marvelicious Toys is produced and edited by Arnie Carvalho. Marvelicious Podcast video enhancement by Andrew, Daryl, Josh, and Barrett. Marvelicious website design by Jason. Graphic design by Justin. Photo editing by Curtis and Jeff. Announcements by Brock. If you also like Star Wars collecting is covered at our other podcast, Star Wars Action News, which you can find at swactionnews.com. If you want to hear reviews of every movie ever based on Marvel Comics, check out those reviews and hundreds more on the Now Playing Podcast at nowplayingpodcast.com. Marvel Comics and all that the Marvel Multiverse contains are the intellectual property of Marvel Entertainment Incorporated, a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company, and no infringement is intended. Marvelicious Toys is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2015, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.
And they're also redoing the Arkman Arkman. They're also going to redo the
Iron Man.
We had those Marvel superhero Marvel super
marsupials.